kind of have a saying that's kind of been going around here at Waynesville about charging our batteries. We talk about how we come together on Wednesdays to kind of charge our batteries. And that's kind of the idea of this lesson, is kind of holding a charge in this whole idea of charging a battery. So I've always had this deep fascination with batteries. I love batteries. And I know that sounds crazy, but I absolutely love batteries. My mom used to make a joke when I was little. She said that whenever she retired, she would have a place to stay as long as she bought me batteries. Because I use batteries on everything. I have this fascination that I could carry something around in my hand. This is a classic. This is an old school Game Boy. That I could carry something around in my hand and play this electronic thing just by using batteries. I love computers and computer engineering, so that's always been a fascination of mine, to think that I can carry something around. But as we know with these electronics, especially these old Game Boys, they could burn through batteries quick. They could burn through batteries really fast, and we would always have to replace them, and then I bought some rechargeable batteries. Then rechargeable batteries just kind of worked so-so about 20 years ago. They're a little bit better now. But I was thinking, because I love batteries and everything around me uses batteries, I started thinking, what is around me? While I was working on this lesson, I was like, what's sitting around me that uses a battery? And I'm like, I'm going to put it all on my desk and take a picture of it. So this is everything within arm's reach of my desk that runs on a battery. So as you can see, I have multiple keyboards at my desk, phones, I have headsets that are normal, so they run on batteries. Cameras and mice, and I have like 6 mice on my desk. I have like 4 or 5 computers running. So I have all of these things at my desk. And I was thinking, all of these run on batteries. And all of these have to be charged if I expect it to work. So we use this idea of a battery. Now, you'll see some art differences between Roger and I here in a little bit. This is about as artistic as I get. This is 2 rectangles put together to make a battery. I had a student once in class, because I teach a lot of real engineering power circuitry stuff, and I just draw stuff up on the board, and I had a student that was like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "It's a stick figure." And he's like, "You can't even draw a stick figure." I said, I know. I'm working on it. I should take some art classes. So over the last couple weeks, I have been drained. Man, my battery has been drained. So with this sermon, I was just thinking about what are the things that we talk about that charge our batteries, that we can talk about this fuel that we need as a Christian. And these are kind of the topics today that I'm going to cover. We're going to talk about singing, attending services, teaching, fellowship. I'm going to talk about battery size and battery type for a minute, and then we'll talk about converting. Now, not talk about power conversions, but just converting in the biblical sense. So let's talk about singing. I've enjoyed our song service this morning, and I was thinking with this singing, we have a lot of verses that supports the idea of singing and actually singing to uplift one another. So in James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." Okay? Acts 16:25. "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." I think as down and as tired as I get, as much as my battery is drained, you know, I wasn't sitting in prison like Paul and Silas. But what did Paul and Silas do for encouragement? How did they lift themselves up? How did they recharge their batteries? Well, they sung songs. Also in Matthew 26:30, "And they went out and sung a hymn, and they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Now this is in Matthew 26:30. This is about the time that Jesus was betrayed to be crucified on the cross. I think of this verse a lot, because when they came together, they sung a hymn. I consider that encouragement for what was about to happen. Jesus knew what was about to happen. But what an idea of encouragement. So I think of these things as charging our battery. So when I think of batteries, they kind of charge, right? So we've got one fuel block charged. And we can kind of label this one as singing. We've kind of labeled our first charging block here. Another charging block that we might need to have is attending services. Now, with this, I think we can come together to sing, but we need to be here for that to happen. So in Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in this manner of some, but exhorting one another, and as much the more as you see the day approaching." So we know that we need to come together to lift one another up, to encourage one another. It would not sound very good if I was the only one here in this room singing. So all of us coming together singing and lifting each other up. Also in Colossians 3 and 16, I used this verse several times, and I ended up going and cutting it out. But it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching and admonishing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So we know we need to come together for these things to happen. We need to know that we come together to talk with one another, to sing, to teach and admonish. We can use these things to kind of help charge our batteries. Also in Acts 2 and 42, "And the apostles continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking in bread and prayers." So they continued this together. And Matthew 6 and 23, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you." In Acts 20 and 7, when we talk about today, coming together to kind of get this charge, in Acts 20 and 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the apostles came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Now, I know this is the verse that we've talked quite a bit about, like, oh no, Roger's going to get up and preach till midnight. Right? This is kind of the joke that we've had. But, you know, when I sit and I think about this verse, or when I read it, they were excited to stay until midnight. They were excited to be a part of this. I think of what Cody and Abe is doing right now. Everyone is excited to be a part of this. It sounds like they have 5 or 6 Bible studies a day. It's something that they want to be a part of that lifts them up. It doesn't sound like people even wanted to leave this. So with that, we know that attending can also fuel our cell block here. Also, coming from a little bit different point of view, I kind of just have some ideas of teaching up here. These are kind of the teaching rubrics that I kind of look at whenever I'm putting a class together for work, but not necessarily for here. And I was starting to think, you know, teaching helps me out a lot. To be able to stand up in front of others, and in order to do that, I need to have a deeper understanding of what I'm talking about. So with that, I love this opportunity to be able to get up in front of everyone, because I have an opportunity to look at new material and study something a little deeper. I get to look at different skills that we may have. I get to look at different ideas and maybe come at things from a different point of view than maybe what you've studied. So we can kind of put these ideas together. This idea of teaching, I also was thinking in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fable. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." I was thinking about this with teaching. I get excited to go and read and study parts of the Bible that I may have never thought of something a different way, or to be able to look at something in a different light. So I can help sit down and try to figure out if I am teaching the right doctrine, if I am doing the things that are considered what's right to the Lord. With that, that helps fuel me, because I get excited to sit down and to look at these things. So I think of teaching as actually filling this extra cell block. Also, the idea of fellowship. I was thinking of fellowship the other day because we really enjoy going out on the first Sunday of the month where we get to come together and talk with one another. You know, it seems like we all stay for a long time after services where we get to talk with one another and fellowship with one another. And I enjoy any time that we get to do this. As you know, whether you go to school or to work, you know, you come in contact with a lot of people that aren't following what God wants them to do. And it's really nice to be able to share ideas and thoughts with people that are studying the Word. So I thought in Philemon 6:6, this is a verse that I've never used before preaching. In Philemon 6:6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the knowledgement of every good thing which is in you, which is in you in Christ Jesus. I was thinking of this because I was thinking of effective knowledgement of faith. This is something we should share with one another. This is something that we should have fellowship with one another. Our faith and effective knowledgement in good things. And also in James 5:16, talking about fellowship with one another, confessing your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I was thinking, in order for us to have prayers for one another, this is where we need to come together to know what each person needs prayers for. Like I said, I've been really ran down at work, and if you guys know that, that's something that you guys can pray about. And whenever somebody announces something, we know that that is something that we can pray about. That is something that helps recharge my battery, is this fellowshipness, this strong closeness we have with each other. Also, I'd like to just kind of talk about battery sizes here for a minute. Not to get off track with the other pieces that we're kind of discussing, but there's all different types of batteries that are out there. There's large batteries, there's small batteries, there's batteries that look really impressive. And I was kind of thinking this along with Christianity. You know, we may look at somebody and think, wow, that is a really strong Christian, or that is something that really draws me to that person to think, wow, whatever they do is correct. Well, you know, we need to think about that. We need to make sure that that person is doing what they're doing. So when I was thinking of different battery sizes, I thought of James 2:2-4. And it says, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor and filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to them, 'You sit here in this good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You sit there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" I was trying to put this in perspective a little bit, so I brought a couple batteries. I brought this battery right here, right? This is a fuel cell battery. It looks impressive, doesn't it? It's a pretty good size battery. So what if you saw this on a shelf next to a battery about this size? Now, which one would you pick? Well, this one looks pretty impressive, right? This one is about 100 times more powerful than this one. So if you just went on looks alone, this one sells for about $80. I got this one for free. Which one would you have picked? This one is about 15 years old, right? This one's, you know, just, this was probably made this year. So that's kind of an advancement in batteries. But if I was going to buy one, I'd say, wow, this looks impressive, right? But this one is twice, or actually it's about, yeah, it's 500 milliamps, this is only 100. So it's quite a difference between these two. And I was thinking, do we think of that with people as well? Do we think, oh, wow, this person, they know everything. They can do anything. I'm going to follow that person. Or if somebody walks in, we kind of look at them like that nice battery. I was making this joke to Roger. I'm like, here, you could sit in the front. No, that's all right. Nobody sits in the front. I don't know if that nice person would want to sit in the front. But that's kind of the idea with this battery sizes, because batteries come in multiple different sizes and shapes. Just because somebody looks a certain way or acts a certain way and talks a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that they have that inside energy, right? It's kind of impressive to think that this has got so much more power inside of this. And I think of that with people today. Just because somebody looks a certain way doesn't mean that they know more or less. I was thinking about the lesson that I did a few years ago where I showed a picture of three different people and I asked which three different people would you talk to. And probably the picture that everybody said I wouldn't talk to was the guy in motorcycle clothes, and that was me, right? So just because something looks a certain way, and when talking about looks and appearance, let's think of this. In Isaiah 53 and 2, prophesying about Jesus here, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him." So we know that Jesus would have just looked like a common person. Just a common person. So when we just think of a common battery type, just think of how much power and energy was inside of Jesus Christ. So since there is many different type of battery types, we can go on about different battery types and thoughts. As you can see, I'm actually got my notes here on an iPad. And there's a huge battery in here, but it is super, super thin. There's a lot of different types and ideas. And I was thinking about that with each of us. Because if we're a Christian and we're doing what God wants us to do, in 1 Peter 2 and 9 it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." Some versions say a peculiar people. I've always thought that that was kind of funny. "That you may proclaim the priest of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I was kind of thinking that's like us. We're a whole bunch of different battery types. However, we still get our charge the same way. Sometimes I feel like I'm this big battery that I lose a charge very quickly. Right? And then sometimes I feel like I'm this little battery where sometimes I get motivated and I get charged up and I can last a long time. But with this, it reminds us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that we are all of these different battery types. Now, to kind of wrap this up, one of the most important parts of our battery I have here is converting. Now, I know that's kind of an odd piece to have up here on the top of the battery, and I hope that it'll make sense here in a little bit. But in Acts 2, 36 through 38 says, "Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when he had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So if I converted my life to Christ, and I think of all of these hard times and all of these demands I get at work, I think as long as I've repented and turned my life to Christ for the remission of sins, it should fully charge my battery. I was thinking the other day, I get a lot of directions from multiple different bosses. And I started thinking, I don't report to any of you. I report to God. Everything else is just in between. I know they probably didn't like that comment, but that was what I said to one of them. And I started thinking, this is the most important part, converting, being a part of this. So we've talked about these things this morning. We've been uplifted by singing. We're uplifted because we're here together. We're uplifted through the teaching and fellowship, and knowing that we belong to Christ should fully fill our batteries. However, there may be some here today that has been a part of the singing, tending, teaching, fellowship. But the conversion part isn't full yet. That part of the battery just isn't full yet. And to make it real simple, to fill the rest of this battery, we have to put on Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That is the last part to fill our battery cell, is putting on Christ. There is a lot more that we can think about with different battery types and different ideas. We can talk about that we want to have the correct current coming into our battery so we do charge it correctly, and that's kind of where Roger's lesson is going to take up at. But with this idea of charging our battery and converting over to Christ is an extremely important part to our Christianity. And if you would like to become a Christian, please come forward as we stand and sing number 940.